I know how to style stuff out to make the clothes look good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge differentiation. I will never wear this again. Now I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. I don't want to only be paid for everything I do. I was in that horrible postpartum stage.
Well, here you are. Here is your success. I wish I could marry you. Seriously. Hello, everybody. Today on the Extra Stitch, we have Rocky Burns.
Hello.
Fashion influencer, a model, and a mom to two beautiful girls. Boys. Yes. Oh, I said girls.
You have two girls, two boys.
I have two girls. No, she has two boys.
Yes.
They're so cute. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, the little one, I can't.
Charlie. Oh, my gosh.
I really can't.
My meatball.
He looks just like you.
Don't tell him that. Everyone says Jones, my oldest, looks just like me, so I try and give Matt, Charlie, and everyone keeps saying they both look like me, so.
They do both look like you because you have a very, like, strong features.
Yeah.
Like, very specific one because you're, you know, part Filipino, right?
I think Charlie's going to be more like Matt, though, when he gets older, hopefully. Hopefully
they'll change.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see. I think he has his coloring, at least. He has, like, dark hair with, like, lighter eyes.
He does have lighter skin, too,
and lighter
right?
skin, yeah.
Because you have really dark skin. But the first one has lighter skin, too.
Jones has blonde hair, but he's definitely, like, more golden undertone.
Yeah.
Like, definitely has my – when he tans very nicely.
Well, they're going to be such heartbreakers, both of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're really
They're going to be trouble. They're already trouble.
Yeah.
How is the transition from one to two?
I think – well – you'll find out.
I'm so scared of that day. Like, I'm excited, but scared.
0 to 1 is hard in the moment, but once you go from 1 to 2, I think you realize how easy 1 is.
I was telling her this morning because she's like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm like, babe, you think you're tired now, and once you have second one, you understand how not tired you are.
It's like once you have 2, like 1 is a walk in the park. I think the biggest difference between the two is that with 1, you can tap in and tap out with your partner or anyone, essentially. Like if you have a nanny or your husband, you can essentially be like, okay, take the baby, I need a breather. But with 2, especially when they're really young, it's like all hands on deck. You really need all the help all the time. So like, no one ever gets a break.
No.
That's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
And also bedtime is like mom put in one and then dad put in another one in bed. I mean, I don't know how
and do you get that extra help?
So my husband and I work together and we work together from home. And so luckily we have a lot of flexibility when it comes to helping with the kids. And we're very much on a partnership with it, like very 50-50. So we kind of started this routine when Jones was born is we switch off morning shifts. So like let's say, for example, I put the kids down tonight and then in the morning I get up with the kids and Matt can sleep in an extra hour. Mm-hmm. And then the next day Matt will put the kids down for bed and then in the morning he'll wake up and I get to sleep in an extra hour. So it kind of gives each parent a little bit of a break each day, which is really nice. Or if I want to go out to dinner with my girlfriends and stay out a little bit later, I get an extra hour in the morning. And so that's kind of been our routine. And I feel like it really holds each of us accountable and really gives us that like partnership and holds each one accountable for being there and knowing what they're going to be responsible for.
I think that's the most amazing thing I like ever heard.
That's really great.
But it's also very unique because we work together and we have that ability to have shifts. I feel like within a traditional marriage where let's say a mom's staying home or and a husband's going to work, you don't get that extra help or and we also don't have a nanny that lives with us. So like maybe if you have a nanny, you can like kind of do that. But Matt and I have a very unique situation. And I think it really holds us both accountable.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you met Matt? Because that's what kind of you're talking about.
Yeah. So Matt and I met in 2015. I was in New York for a modeling job and like stayed the weekend and ended up meeting him at a concert in Brooklyn. Like completely random, no mutual friends. I had just gotten divorced like a week before.
Oh, wow.
So we met and we dated. When I first met him, I was like, I'm never going to date you. You live in New York. I live in LA. This isn't going to work. And he's a week before I met him, he had signed a lease on an apartment in West Hollywood and was moving out 3 months later.
Oh, wow.
So it was very serendipitous.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, I guess I can date you long distance. We dated long distance for like 3 months, saw each other every like few weeks. And then when he moved to LA, it was just like, that's it. We're together.
So you knew that was it.
Yeah, it's kind of – I feel like I had already been through the ringer and I knew what I wanted. Yeah. And he's just a great guy. And
so how long you guys are together now?
We just had our five-year wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. So and 2 years together before that. Yeah.
3 years together. And like, two, like 3 years. I was always wondering, like, did you – so you met and you started working together a while out? Or like how did that – like?
Okay, so this is actually really funny too. Yeah. So – I was obviously doing all the modeling and influencer stuff. He was actually working at Ernst & Young doing finance.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, so different from what he's doing now, right?
But he, when he moved to LA, he had set up with EY to go and do all of this solar securitization in LA. And then when he moved out, we took a trip to Tulum for a job. And I had a client that was like, we'll pay for you to go anywhere in the world. This was like back in the day.
What client was that?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, they don't do that anymore. Back in the day, they were like, we'll fly you anywhere in the world if you shoot these 9 bikinis.
What?
Literally. I was like, okay. So I wanted to go somewhere we can maximize our time. So I was like, let's just do Tulum, right? So we did Tulum and I flew a photographer in for one day to just like knock everything out. And then we were just going to relax and enjoy the rest of our paid vacation. And the only day the photographer could come was on Valentine's Day. And Matt was by himself on the beach, drinking pina coladas or whatever it was, like so hard. But he was so upset that he couldn't help me. And he was just like kind of helpless there waiting for me. And so he was like – that. When we got back from that trip, he went and signed up for a photography class to like try and help
me. Stop it.
Because he's like, I never want to be in that position again. You shouldn't have to fly someone in. I was there. I could have helped you. And he's a total Renaissance man. Like he cooks, he does photography. And so slowly after that, he started helping me out a little bit here and there. And then he wanted to open a restaurant. So he quit his – because he's just a Renaissance man. So he quit his finance job. And during R&D of his restaurant, it was like a year and a half where they were like scouting locations, building the menu, like doing the whole build out and everything. He essentially was – helping me out in the interim. So that was really great. And he kind of got a taste of working for me and we got to travel together. And it was just this really amazing time where we got to do all these amazing trips together, kind of at the beginning of the influencer.
I really remember that time because I started following you around that time. And
like the Revolve trips.
I remember. Yeah. And you guys was always together like in this amazing places. I'm like, fuck, that's like a great gig.
It was a dream. Yeah. It was like this ultimate like fairy tale situation. And then when he started the restaurant, he was kind of still helping me and doing the restaurant. And then the restaurant was just like overwhelming. They ended up shutting it down like months before COVID, which was like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. It's a hard business.
And I just gotten pregnant. So like it was not a good situation. So we ended up shutting the restaurant down and has been working with me full time since then. So it's been like 4 years, I want to say.
How's it going?
Well, I think anyone who works with their husband will tell you it's not easy. Yeah. Like at the very beginning, we used to like want to kill each other all the time. Mm-hmm. And when he first started doing photography, I'd be like, I remember this one time we were at Gurney's in the Hamptons.
Gurney's.
But yeah, and he was taking photos for me at sunset and I'm looking at the photos and I'm like, these are purple. Why are these photos purple? And he's like, they're not purple. Like that's just what it looks like. They're not purple. And I'm like, these photos are purple. Like, what is going on? And like, I had one of our girlfriends who was good with cameras look at it. And she goes, oh, your white balance is set on purple. Like, it was just, you know.
So he was learning as he goes, like through the process.
Did he get so much better?
Oh my God.
Photography.
And we've all worked, you guys all come from modeling as well. Yeah. You've worked with a million photographers. Mm-hmm. I think he's better at shooting me than any photographer I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
He like, I'm a tough critic and he like knows my angles, what looks good. He'll even tell me like, don't like lean so much. You're just, like, he is so good at shooting women, I think, which is really special.
Does he shoots anything else or just you?
Like, he'll like shoot random jobs every once in a while and he'll like shoot stuff for my girlfriends and stuff, but I keep him pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of work you put out of there, like, I really don't understand how you have energy for the kids. for like, you know, your husband, for like all your, how do you balance all of this?
Well, I think like I was saying at the beginning, it was a huge learning curve with us working together. Yeah. Like it used to take like an hour to shoot a look. We'd like drive around LA and like find a spot and then take photos, and I would hate them, and we have to try again. And now we can shoot a look in 5 minutes. It's seriously? Like so easy. We have it down, but there was, and I think before also we would get in fights. Like every couple does. Yeah. And we would completely be, if we got in a fight, our whole day was shot. Mm-hmm. Like we couldn't do anything. We couldn't shoot together. We wouldn't be able to have any like professional like progress during the day. It would just be shut down because we do have that personal relationship and a work relationship. So those kind of days were hard. They would totally just like knock us on our feet if we got in a fight. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like we're better at kind of creating that balance.
Communicating too, probably.
And
right?
also having boundaries and respect for each other. Mm-hmm. I think creating boundaries and having respect for your partner when you work together is the hardest part, because you kind of take them for granted because they're your partner, as we all do in relationships. Yeah. But you have to almost be more respectful of them when you work together. In those kind of professional relationships.
So you guys.
So now we can balance the kids and work much easier.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just so efficient with everything now. And we really are good about scheduling, like, oh, Matt has a call. We're going to shoot then. And we know like, oh, well, in the afternoon, it's better to shoot. So we'll like save that till the afternoon. And,
for like the sunset or something. Mm-hmm.
And we have a shared calendar with everything. We put every single thing that we do in there.
Mm-hmm. See, like, I told you she's the most structured person like I ever probably known.
Well, you have to, because otherwise if Matt was like, oh, I'm golfing this afternoon, I'm like, okay, well, there goes 6 hours of the day.
Yeah.
And you have no idea.
Yeah.
So I put everything, like my nail appointments, like every single thing goes in our calendar. So we know what is expected and what we can do. And yeah.
We can learn from you.
It's not easy. It's taking a long time.
Tell us like your regular day, because, you know, you do so much content. Like you wake up as your kids, you make them breakfast. Like, we just want to know, how do you feed everything?
Yeah, no, we wake up, we do breakfast. Jones goes to school. I come back. I usually take the first couple of hours in the morning to style out looks and get ready myself, do my hair and makeup, style out looks, figure out what I need to shoot for the day, kind of just like organize. And I'm also constantly like refreshing my closet and clearing things out, and also taking time to just be inspired, which is really hard. I kind of have to lock myself in my closet and just play dress up, which is hard to do with kids. I get little baby toddler hands under the door like, mama.
It's so,
you know,
cute.
How it is.
Yeah.
So I try and take that time for myself. And then depending on what the rest of the day looks like, well, Matt and I will shoot in the afternoon. We'll take phone calls. I do baby classes with Charlie once a week, and you pick up Jones sometimes depending on like what the schedule looks like. So usually the morning is for myself, and then Matt and I tend to work together in the afternoon.
Honestly, you're an inspiration to all of us.
We only have our nanny till 5. So we have our nanny from 9 to 5.
9 to 5 for the little one.
Yeah, for our little one. And she picks up Jones from school and takes him to like Taekwondo, or he's in speech therapy. Takes him to speech therapy. Everyone's home by 5. And then we start dinner, bath, and kids are always in bed by 7.
Does Matt always cook dinner?
Pretty much. He doesn't trust me to cook.
That's amazing.
That's like such a dream scenario. Yeah.
But I do all the laundry, I do all the cooking, I do all the nanny management. Yeah. So like we have our – I feel like especially once you start having kids, you really have to pick your
roles,
early on and hold them to it.
Yeah.
Like I will never take the trash out.
No, that's not something. I will
take it out of the bin and set it next to the door.
I do the
but
same,
I will
yeah.
never take that to the trash. Yeah. That is always my husband's job.
Yeah, you kind of like learn each other and you kind of have your roles in family, right? So it's
– But he cooks and I clean.
Mm-hmm.
You clean.
Like,
wow.
I'll do all the dishes and wipe, clean everything up. He cooks, I clean. So we kind of have our
– So who's more structured though? I feel like it's you. Or you guys both kind of structured?
I think we're both kind of structured because he comes from finance. But I think that I have a more realistic time management.
Okay.
I feel like he thinks that we can do 20 things in a day. And I'm like, we can do about 5 of those things realistically. I think I have a really good idea of what's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and set realistic expectations for us every day, so we're not getting overwhelmed. I think he thinks we can do this and this and this, and I'm like, well, it takes 30 minutes to drive there and 30 minutes to come home, and you might be ready after a workout to go shoot, but then I have to do my hair and makeup in between. Yeah. So I think he forgets about all those in-between moments, and I try and keep a realistic time frame.
So you guys kind of balance each other so well together,
right? We're pretty good at it, yeah. Yeah.
So I have a question going back to the looks, and like, how, where do you find inspiration for your looks?
She's really concerned about it because she's like, she has looks a day. Like, how does she find inspiration?
Well, I think it's easy for me. Like, I have a very unique situation too, where I'm getting sent stuff from brands all the time, and I'm seeing lookbooks and seeing what's new. But I think I get a lot of my inspiration, like everyone else, just on Instagram or Street Style, and Fashion Week is always super inspiring. But I think for me, I always try and take whatever trends are happening and see what works for me.
And do you feel personally for you, does it change over time? Like how you saw clothes, let's say 5 years ago, and now you're like, mom, and does anything change for you?
You know, what's so funny is when I first got pregnant with Jones, I think it was like after I was pregnant, and I was in that horrible postpartum stage where you're just like jello-y and puffy.
You were never jello-y, ever.
First of all, I was. It was you COVID, and I was living in sweatpants, and everyone's like, you bounce back so quick. I'm like, no one saw me for 8 months, and I was in sweatpants, so of course it looks like I bounced back. Yeah. But I think in that stage, I like went through, I had this like feng shui attack and went through my closet and got rid of every sexy outfit I had. I'm like, I am never going to wear this again. Anything slightly sexy. I just had these like giant boobs breastfeeding and it was jiggly. And I'm like, I will never wear this again. Now I'm a mom and like throwing shit out. And now that I, like after two kids, I finally got my body back and I'm like, damn it, I wish I could get rid of all that sexy shit. Like, mommy's ready to wear it again.
Yeah, after second kid, something happens, you're like ready to go. You're like a MILF, right?
Yeah, you're like I did it, I'm back, let's go. I'm like, why did I throw all that sexy shit out? I am pissed at myself. And I have all these like matronly like moo-moos. I'm like, no. I think you just go through a phase and you kind of think when you first start, and tell me if you guys feel like this, when you first had kids, you just feel so overwhelmed. You're like, this is my new life. Mm-hmm. And you don't remember what it was like. And then you kind of come out from the fog and you're like, oh, I'm a person. I'm allowed to have fun still. I'm allowed to go out and see my girlfriends and dress up and feel sexy.
For sure. But I feel like second baby kind of fixed me. I don't know why it happens, but like after first one, you're like so serious and I have a baby now. Yeah. I'm a mom. And then you have second one and like I feel like, I don't know, life just kind of balances out. At least it was like that for me. Like,
well, Jones didn't watch TV till he was 18 months. And what? My oldest didn't watch because they told you it's not good for children to have screen time before 18 months.
Yeah, whatever.
And so I was like vigilant about it. I would like put him in his bouncer away from the TV and like do all this stuff. And with Charlie, the second one, I'm just like, fuck it. What are you going to do? Like, obviously, my toddler's watching TV. Charlie's been watching TV since he was born. Like, well, that goes out the window. There's like so many things you're just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
It's true, right? What the second one, you just become like more loose and you like want to have fun again. I don't know why, but I mean, maybe.
I think you're just surviving. You're like, I can't. I don't have the capability to like shelter my kid the way I did with the first.
Was the second one planned?
Yeah, we were definitely trying with the second. Okay. I just wanted to like bang them out.
Yeah.
So first one wasn't planned or?
Well, first one was planned. I went off birth control, but I got pregnant immediately, which I was not planning.
Everyone's saying the same story. I went birth control and I got pregnant immediately.
You know what? I think it's because I was like planning on it taking a year. So I just wasn't thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And I just went off and I swear, well, first of all, there's a lot of fertility issues these days. I feel like I'm 37, about to be 38. And for me, there's really just like, it's black or white. Either you have no problem getting pregnant and it happens right away, or you're on IVF for like three, four rounds and it's just like a nightmare. That's like a 50-50 split with my girlfriends these days, especially I think at my age, being a little bit older. It's either it's super easy or it's really hard and it sucks because –
You're so right, by the way.
It's so hard because no one wants to hear that you have a kid so easily. But then, like, I don't know. I think a lot of it, too, is a lot of my friends who do IVF end up getting pregnant, like, right after they have IVF. There's, like, so much pressure that women put on themselves. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's for everyone because, obviously, girls, there's a lot of issues in why people have IVF. But I think a lot of times when women say they get pregnant right away, it's because we're just, like, not caring or
we're
trying.
Not caring or mm-hmm. trying or not thinking about yeah. it. And it's just
there's usually, something magical yeah. about that, I have to say. Because like, it took us longer with Charlie.
Because you were trying.
Or we just weren't having sex as much. Because we had a kid.
Yeah.
Did you feel weird? By the way, I never asked this to anyone, but did you feel weird having sex like the first time after your delivery?
Oh, I had the worst delivery ever. So I was like avoiding sex. I was avoiding sex like the plague. I was like, don't touch me. Like I, and also you don't even feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. I got cleared after 6 or 8 weeks because I had third degree tears with Jones. He was in the NICU for a week. I was in a wheelchair for a week. I could barely walk for like the first couple months. Like, four blocks was like my maximum for walking. God.
Do you want to share that with us a little bit or you don't want to share
that? No, that's fine. That was literally, no, it was fine. Like I had a really easy pregnancy. I loved being pregnant. I had no morning sickness. I felt great. I loved being pregnant. I loved having a bump. I loved dressing it. I had so much energy. I just loved it. I was the girl, the annoying girl who loved being pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Same, yeah.
I love it. It's okay. Yeah. Always like down to hang. Like I just loved it. But then they always say you can't have a perfect pregnancy. So like although I loved being pregnant, I had a horrible delivery that like no one had expected. I went in. I got induced in New York like – a week before my actual due date.
Why did you decide to deliver in New York? Sorry to interrupt. Oh, because so, you lived here and I know. Why did you go to New York? It's terrible there to have a kid. It's beautiful here.
I know. Well, so my husband's dad is a doctor. He went to Cornell.
Oh. No way.
And he's a GI, gastroenterologist. But mm-hmm. he has this group of 5 guys he went to college with. And they are all different specialties. Mm-hmm. One's a heart surgeon. One's like a GI. One's whatever. But one's an OB, Dr. Mm-hmm. Sassoon. So it was essentially my father-in-law's best friend, Dr. Sassoon. He was at our wedding. Matt grew up with him. And so he was our OB. Mm-hmm. It was like having like a family friend deliver the baby. So, and we were out there all the time for work. It was easy to do checkups. I just did some stuff with my OB here. But essentially, it was just really nice to have that personal relationship with someone who was like really looking out for you and had your best interest in mind. Because I feel like a lot of times here, it's just like a cattle call with at OB offices. I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of them just kind of don't have this personal relationship with you. They're just like, come in, do your thing. And it was just kind of something that was special for my husband too, to have his kids yeah. born in New York. He's very proud.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Both of them born in New York?
Both of them were born in New York.
Same doctor?
Same doctor, oh. same hospital, New York wow. Press.
Okay, so you went in.
And so we went in and I had an epidural. I got induced, which was like very common in New York. I feel like they don't really do it anymore, but like in New York, everyone gets induced. I think you just like schedule it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just, everyone needs to know what their plans are for the weekend. They like induce everyone.
Seems that it's way, so yeah. weird.
They don't do it anymore, but they did at the time. And so I went in, everything was going fine until I started pushing and Jones just wouldn't come out. And oh they were gosh. Like, I pushed for 2.5 hours. And but I was one push away from a C-section. I had 2 episiotomies. They cut me all over.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, ugh. And he finally came out, and we thought everything was fine. And then they were doing, like, the – what are they called? Like, the
– baby test.
The test at
yeah,
the end.
Yes, yeah.
And they were, like – took him to the NICU, and he had had a subgelia hematoma on his head
because he was banging too much on your
he had like a brain bleed
stop it
during birth and so he had to go to the NICU. My face was so puffy from pushing for 2.5 hours. I looked like a dead body. Like I have a photo and my face is just you don't even recognize me. Like my eyes are swollen and puffy. Like I was exhausted.
Do you know why it happened? Like did they explain or not?
Essentially my son has what they call a boat head.
A
really big head.
Okay.
We call it a boat head where it's really wide on top.
So it was hard for him to.
He just had a massive head.
Yeah.
So like, for example, when he was 1.5 years, he was like trying on all my hats and this company sent me this like cowboy hat. And it was a little big on him. And they were like, oh, it's so cute. We want to make a custom kid one for your baby Jones. They're just like, take a measurement of his head and send it to us. He's a year and a half. I go and measure his head. It's 55 centimeters.
What?
They're like, that's an adult small.
Oh my God.
Giant head.
But he doesn't look it.
Because he's really tall.
He looks like totally proportional.
I think the hair covers it.
Did you notice when he was born?
Yeah, he always had a big head. Really? Like none of the hats, no baby hats fit him, nothing. So he ended up just like ripping me to shreds. He was in the NICU. They were doing all these tests because they have to. But I like knew in my heart of hearts he was fine.
Yeah.
Just as like a mom, you're like, he's fine. We're fine. Just like whatever. Yeah. And you feel so bad because he looks like this normal baby.
Yeah.
And he was 7 pounds, 11 ounces, pretty big compared to all these little babies in the NICU. Yeah. And I'm like, my son's fine. You just like, I knew. And so we spent a week in the NICU, which is horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. My husband was wheeling me on a wheelchair because I was adamant about doing every feeding. Breastfeeding him for
you didn't do any breastfeeeding.
What
did you do breastfeeding after?
Yeah,
you did.
But I was adamant about breastfeeding. But in retrospect, I went every 3 hours. But in retrospect, I'm like, there's no way those NICU nurses waited for me to feed him. I'm like, they definitely, and they also just start them on formula when they're in the NICU. You like don't really have a say. I feel like they were giving him a bottle when he started crying. So when I was there, I'd be like, he's not eating. And I'm like, they probably just gave him a bottle. And they were like just humoring me, letting me come in. And which is like
doctors,
messed up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think because of that, my milk never really came in.
Wow.
Because I was pumping once a day in the middle of the night. So I wasn't coming in at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But then I would come in and like he either wouldn't feed or whatever because he'd probably already eaten. And so my milk never fully came in. And breastfeeding with Jones was a nightmare. I was like pumping and feeding like every 3 hours. And I at the end, I was pumping and getting like 1 ounce. I was pumping for like 40 minutes.
That's not even worth it, to be
honest. I only ended up breastfeeding for 3 months, but I like with Charlie, it was so easy. Everything was like easy breezy, which made me, I think in retrospect, realize that like they weren't maybe being fully honest with me about waiting for me to feed him. But my husband.
That's fucked up, though.
That's not really nice. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they don't want a crying baby in the NICU.
Other babies are very distressed, you know, and little and
but
surviving.
But Matt was wheeling me on my wheelchair every 3 hours. I mean, you know, by the time you feed, go home, rest for a second, you have to go right back and do it again. You know,
how was
I mean?
Your healing process down there? Like, it's I heard it.
I like didn't even look for like months. Yeah. I was just like, I don't want to see anything.
You can't go to the bathroom, right?
It's
nothing.
The worst. It was just, I think for me, I just had so many stitches that it was just really sensitive and swollen for so long. Like I didn't get like the okay to do anything for like 8 weeks. And I think normally it's like 6.
You went back to working out really quickly.
Yeah, but you know what? It was not fun. I was like,
it's not fun.
No, I would like pee my pants going on a run because you just like have
still
no control.
Pee when I sneeze. I know. Every time I
you
sneeze,
do?
I have to hold it.
Sometimes too, I'll like cross my legs and sneeze.
Yeah, see, it's two. Yeah. It's two of them.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of a trip. And I'd like be running. I'd go on like a light jog with Matt and I'd be like, oh my God, I just beat my pants. We got to go.
Oh my God.
I still, I might go to do that rejuvenation thing that they do when they tighten everything on your muscles because like literally.
Well, you have to do all the
Kegels.
Floor, which I feel like. Who has
did you do
that? Who knows
all
if
that
I'm doing it right? I don't know. Yeah, am like, I squeezing the right muscle? Well, yeah, like, exactly. I don't know. Squeezing something. God knows if that's my pelvic floor or not.
So, I just went to Dr. Kayo and they have this laser. It kind of looks like the ultrasound that you do at the, you know, the doctors. And they put it that like inside.
Oh,
and
so it's like M-Sculpt for your vagina.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes like everything just goes
it's
in.
It's M-Sculpt, essentially.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
They're probably doing like where it feel. Have you done M-Sculpt on your stomach?
Not yet.
Okay, I did it after Charlie. Yeah. And I feel like it helped so much.
So much.
Really?
To bring your muscles back?
Bring my muscles back. It helped because I was having lower back pain because your abs are like so weak after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I felt like it helped with skin tightening because if you do the M-Sculpt Neo with heat, that really helped. But I feel – it kind of feels like you're getting tasered, like a light taser.
Yeah.
I'm imagining it's like
– yeah, it's the same. But they say because it's inside, it's actually not as painful as if you do it like on a muscle.
Probably
because
you don't have as many nerves in there.
It's just – maybe. Whatever.
Well, let me know how that goes.
So my friend just did it, and she's like, "Do you want me to send you a picture?" I'm like, "No."
Picture? How the hell do they take photos of that?
They take picture before and after.
Oh, like, my God. I wouldn't want to see.
How the hell are you supposed to know the difference?
It is so much different. You have no idea. Yes. I'm actually going to, like, I don't know, tag it or whatever, whatever that called. But the difference is insane. Even your, like, I don't know, outer thing, it, like, goes back in. Yeah.
Okay, I need photos of this.
I will
I need photo proof. This is the first time I've ever heard of that.
So my nurse, I did a little Botox yesterday, but she does it. And she's like, yeah, I'm like, they call me like a pussy whisperer or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's amazing.
She's like, can I do it? Can I do it on you? And I'm like.
Should we plug the salon? Where is it?
It's at Dr. Kayo.
In Beverly Hills.
Yeah, he's in Santa Monica. Operates. It's the K.
That's fine. I'll drive to the West Side for that.
I connect you with Chrissy, and she's like a doll, super beautiful. So I trust her with like my skin and stuff. But she does the pussy whisperer thing.
Oh my God! I feel like more people need to talk about this. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
It's important. Like I can sneeze and pee myself all the time.
This is news to me. I guess after second baby, that's what happens.
Do you not sneeze and pee yourself?
No.
Oh, wait till the second.
That's why I'm like, okay, the second one does.
My husband's mantra for our second delivery was hot dog down a hallway, hot dog down a hallway. I was like, that is a horrible visual, but like, oh, I get it. He was like, just let it be easy, like a hot dog down a hallway. And so, I'm like,
was it though?
So the second delivery with Charlie was a piece of cake.
Were you nervous?
Head.
Yeah.
Were you nervous? I pushed twice and he was out.
Were you like scared though? Or you were like, it's not going to be the same, obviously.
I felt like I wasn't really, I'm just not like a worrier to begin with.
Okay.
And I felt like.
I wish I could marry you. Seriously.
Oh, trust me, everyone's got their things. But sure. I just don't worry about stuff like that. My husband was definitely worrying. That was where the mantra came from. He was very concerned. But I feel like I was just like, there's no way it could possibly be as bad as it was with Jones. Like, his head was just abnormally big. I feel like there's no way that that's going to, like...
He's going to be super smart.
Like, that's what they say. He had a little speech delay, so I don't know if that's true. But you know what's funny is I didn't know I was pregnant for the first, like, 10 weeks.
So you were, like, were drinking and stuff?
I was drinking, but I was in Brazil. I was in Mexico.
Oh, no.
And so I had to get tested for Zika multiple times. Mm. And, like, the side effect of Zika is a small head. I'm like, I literally had the opposite of that. So,
at least you know you did not have Zika.
No, but that was such, like, I feel like that was such a scare tactic for a while. Like, everyone I talked to in Brazil was like, it's the deep jungle. If you go into the deep jungles, it's not as like common as everyone was making it out to be. But
it really is. Like I know one person, like all my friends in the world, I know one person who got, you know, bit by Zika, the mosquito with Zika.
Yeah.
But it was in Mexico in a jungle.
I think they were kind of making it sound more of a threat than it was. Like I knew girls in New York who wouldn't even go to Miami. During Zika.
It's
ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Right before I found out I was pregnant, I was hiking Mount Toubkal in Morocco with Matt.
Oh, wow.
It was like the highest point in the Atlas Mountains, and we were doing this marketing trip with Equinox. And I was like, we trained like months before, and we were on like the summit, and I was like handing off my oxygen to all these other girls. And one of the Equinox trainers was like 10 weeks pregnant, and I was like, what the hell is she doing here? Like, what, you're pregnant? Go home. Like, why are you doing this? And then I come home and find out like the next week I was pregnant, and I was like eight weeks on the trip.
And you were not tired. You were not nauseous.
Well, I was tired, but I had just gone from Morocco to London to.
So you were normal tired.
Well, I was.
Did
like,
you just thought you were jet lagged?
I thought I'm like maybe I'm just getting old and I'm jet lagged.
Yeah.
Literally, I was.
I found out I'm pregnant after 2 months as well. I had no idea.
No idea.
Like, no symptoms. You're nothing. There's nothing. Off.
That's well, crazy. Also, I did not get my period with my birth control. It was like a side effect when I was on birth control. And so when I went off, I got pregnant right away. And so I never got my period. So I was in my mind, I was like, I haven't even gotten my period. There's no way I'm pregnant. My body's still regulating. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, I have to get my period before I can even get pregnant. There's no way I'm pregnant right now.
You really like it after all these pills and hormones.
Like right away like this?
Like in a week. Before I even got my period after going off birth control. It was so like a week after Coachella.
You were fertile. Fertile?
But my mom was too. I think you can tell a lot by the way your mom carries.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
How many siblings do you have?
I have one sibling. I have a younger brother.
A younger brother?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Huntington Beach, right?
Or Manhattan Beach.
Manhattan Beach.
Close. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I grew up in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
Went to school in San Diego.
Amazing.
And Beautiful. Then I think that's why and that's when Instagram started. I was living in San Diego. So I think everyone thinks I'm actually from San Diego, but I'm from Manhattan Beach originally.
Okay. So how did it all started for you? How did you get into like the influencer world? Was it first modeling or?
It was first modeling. And so like I was the opposite of you guys in my modeling career because I'm like 5'7". I was like more athletic, curvy. Like being Filipino, they would always be like, stay out of the sun, make sure you're not getting tan.
Yeah. You have I remember those days.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And my mother agent, Monica, who I love, you know, she's from Milan. So she was like used to doing like all the high fashion stuff. Yeah. She'd be like, stay out of the sun, don't work out, lose
weight.
Don't
eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're too muscular, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So I was always doing, I kind of fell into the realm of like, all the fitness companies and swim. Like I was the Billabong Australia girl for 3 years. I did like all the yoga companies in LA.
That's a good money though.
It was actually a great job because I traveled the world to all these like exotic locations. I went to Morocco, Tahiti, New Zealand, like Australia. I was like going to all the Bali. Like I got to travel and do like the best locations in the world because I was always on a beach somewhere and the money was actually great. But I feel like for me, I was always, my agency was always choosing photos I didn't like. They were always like washing me out or making me look, trying to be more high fashion. And so when Instagram came, I was just like.
Did you want to be more high fashion or you like didn't
I think
care?
Everyone did at the time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like didn't everyone.
Because that's what they put you in your mind.
And that like was that like. Cool. Yeah. That was like. The ultimate goal was to always be high fashion. Like,
and you lived in LA this whole time.
I was always
never New York.
No, never New York.
So you had an LA agency.
I was my first LA agent was I was with Ford.
Nice.
Yeah, but commercial, then you know, I was all the like I was doing all I was killing it with the commercial jobs.
Yeah, I mean I know killing. So
that's
many
good.
Girls.
That's where money is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Commercials. They're like so rich. Like literally,
it was kind of a blessing in disguise, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But. At the time, I was using Instagram as like my own outlet where I was like, oh, I really like these photos from my test shoot. And my agents would like take one and I'd be like, well, I love all of these. And so I'd like put those up on my Instagram and be like, this is the one I liked. And and then I was always into fashion. Like originally, I'd wanted to go to fashion school and do that whole route. But then my dad convinced me to go to business school. So I always loved fashion. And whenever I was traveling to all these exotic locations – you know how it is in fashion, you're shooting stuff that doesn't come out for 6 months, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we're at this mountaintop at sunrise. And I'd be like, oh, I want to take a photo. And they'd be like, that's fine, but just don't show your clothes, right? Because they're like, you can't show, that's a big secret.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I would like throw on my own clothes and take this like epic shot wherever we were and have these like amazing photos in like my own clothes. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of essentially that like the travel blog thing that everyone was doing. I was doing it for work.
So you were modeling and taking these shots while you were modeling and putting on your
own clothes.
Okay, got it. And you think you already had like a good style back
like,
then?
I got kind of stressed in high school. I don't know. I think I had good style. It's definitely gotten better since I think everyone's style evolves since they were like 20. But I think at the time my clothes were cute and I was working with all those brands. Mm-hmm. And so like people started sending. I remember when I first got my a DM from like a swim brand and they were like, we'll send you a free bikini if you post it on your Instagram. And I was like,
you're like, wow,
no way.
That's so cool.
So cool. Like, duh. Like, of course. Like that. I just remember that so specifically. And it's come a long way.
The beginning of it all, the bikini.
Literally. And so it kind of started like that. Like I was always traveling and doing all these cool things and wearing my clothes and
but you had a blog as well where you posted
so
or it's just Instagram?
It started as Instagram and I kind of started the blog because literally for the past 12 years, people have telling me that Instagram's going to die.
It's still like the number one, right? Or it's TikTok now, tell me.
I don't even know.
You have both though,
I have
right?
both, yeah.
Do you just post the same thing on both?
No, I don't post the same thing. I make a huge effort to not post the same thing on both.
Do you have do you have like a big following on TikTok?
So TikTok, I have like 180,000.
Okay.
But I just started like a year and a half or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just do get ready with me's pretty much. And I'll like throw in a couple other random things, but it's mostly just like get ready with me in my closet. And Instagram is more lifestyle for me.
I think TikTok is so hard, especially for our generation.
It's Oh my God. It took me forever to get into it.
How did you figure it all out?
Can you tell us the secret? No, I was a holdout for so long. Like, remember during COVID, everyone was doing TikTok and I was watching all these girls who like didn't have big followings on Instagram just like start killing it at TikTok. And I was like, oh my God, like I can't dance like that. And like, I don't know.
But I can't do any of that.
I can't. I don't want to. Yeah. And it just, I just kind of held out until I finally found something I felt comfortable doing.
Just get ready with me.
And I did a get ready with me. And my old assistant at the time was like a really good video editor. And so I would just like get dressed and send her the video and she would edit it for me. And we still do that now.
Oh, that's perfect. Because like, then you don't have to deal with that. Yeah.
So I get ready and she like knows me and knows my voice and she's really great. So she just like edits everything for me. And that's the only.
So like for Instagram as well, she helps you with.
She helps me on Reels for Instagram, but like TikTok. She does everything on TikTok, essentially.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be able to do it without her.
How many people have working for you? Like, is it only you and Matt editing, we shooting, have, doing everything?
We have one assistant.
That's crazy.
And then we have one. My old assistant is kind of like an independent contractor now. And we hire her on the side to edit. But, like, our official team is one person. We're a very, very tight ship. Yeah.
So you're very busy.
Huh? I don't really know how girls have so many other people.
I mean, my friend Valeria, she has like, she was just posting about it. She has like 20 people or something on her team. That's a lot, you know?
Yeah. But she does a lot more video stuff. So maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why.
I don't know. I'm just also like, if I can, I'm kind of a control freak about my stuff too.
It seems like, what's your star sign?
Scorpio.
Oh, that's why I have crush on you. I'm really Virgo. So like Virgo and Scorpio is like all my best friends.
My brother's a Virgo. Sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you hate him?
No. I did when we were younger, but now I love him. Yeah.
So Rocky, when I kind of find out about you through my friend who was trying to, you know, who was trying to get you, but it didn't happen for him. But he showed me your Instagram, right? And you had 300,000 followers, like something like that, like maybe five, six years ago. I wouldn't say it was so long time ago, but then like literally 2 years after that, you became like this, like the biggest like fashion like influencer. I know you don't like that, like
I don't think anyone likes that term, but
title, whatever, you know. But like
it's the only option we have.
Yeah, it's like you are, you know. But what do you think is your secret? Because it's like your success is like so like amazingly incredible. Like I don't get it. Like what is it?
You know what? It's so hard. I feel like a lot of it is that I've been doing it for so long. Okay. Like I feel like people always think that it kind of happens overnight, but like I've literally been doing Instagram for like 12 years.
But it did jumped from like it 5 years ago, you know?
It will
6 so maybe.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe I feel it's like it's been like a steady growth for a long time, but I feel like a lot of people stopped growing for a while and I'm just like, I've been really lucky enough to like consistently grow. But I think a lot of it is I post every day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I post every day. I think a lot of it too, and a lot of the reason I blew up earlier is that because instead of just like posting photos that – or just like easy like selfies or whatever. Yeah. Like I was always doing professional photos and stuff that brands wanted to repost and could use. And so I think because of that, my photos got circulated a lot more and shared a lot more. I think when you put a effort and really work on your content and make it really beautiful, there's a lot of repercussions that come from that that are amazing. Like we get paid, like we'll shoot a photo for a brand and they'll love it and want to use it. And then they'll like ask us to pay for usage to use it for like an ad or something like that. So like, there's a lot to be said about authenticity and keeping it real and having just like iPhone shots or whatever. But then there's a whole nother business side of being able to take really beautiful photos and clothes and the brands see how well it works you wearing their clothes and they'll book you for a campaign or book you for like a partnership on Instagram. So I think that is the route that I've always taken on Instagram. And I think that has also led to my success because all of my photos are like campaign worthy and brands are always reposting them or using them on their website. And so my face gets circulated so much more. I think, than a lot of people. And I have the modeling background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
so I you know what you're doing.
I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I already have a look that they would have paid for. So I kind of have the best of both worlds.
Both, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they see that you sell it as well, because if you wouldn't sell it, you wouldn't.
From modeling too, I know how to wear clothes to sell them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? There's like a difference between girls styling something out and then they look good, but like, I know how to style stuff out to make the clothes look good.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge differentiation.
For sure. A lot of girls, I feel like, focus on like themselves. And I feel like with you, it's like, I remember you were like posting this one top from Target or something. I'm like, fuck, I want this fucking top, you know? I'm like, I need to go and order it.
That's the beauty of coming from modeling.
Like, yeah,
we have that ability to like wear clothes really well.
Yeah.
So I think that's really helped. I think I kind of have a little bit of both. Like, I have the modeling side and then I have my own personal style. And I think that that's like your girlfriend Valeria is very similar. Like, she came from modeling. She wears clothes beautifully.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps. You know, you kind of can kind of get both sides. You have like the relatable side, but then you also, or at least I do, because I wasn't like high fashion.
Yeah.
But I also have the like commercial side where people, I'm very marketable and people can use my image and stuff.
Where do you save all those photos? Do you store them?
I don't know. God, I just like
delete them.
I keep getting new iPhones because I run out of storage. I just like,
how many shots you do for one post? Like, how many shots Matt takes it? Like a thousand or 100?
Oh my God, it used to be like 500.
And like now it's like
now it's
20,
like a,
right?
Now it's like 50 to 100.
Yeah, 50 to 100. This is better because like
it's manageable.
Yeah.
It's manageable.
Yeah.
And especially if you post every day. Like
I post every day. And he knows what I want. I'm like, I need a full body, show the shoes. I want a detail, get my jewelry. Like a three-quarter. He like knows a full body, three-quarter detail. Like he knows everything I want.
So you guys
like
this.
Yeah.
Do you take any jobs that you like hate?
Just
because it's a job, you know?
So I wouldn't say I hate. I definitely work both sides of the room. Like I work with like – for example, I currently am working with David Yurman, but I'm also working with Old Navy.
Is this David Yurman?
Yeah,
this is David. So beautiful. I was like looking at it the whole
time. Stuff is so good.
It's amazing. Wow.
But I like to think that I always say the most fun part of my job is being able to take a look from Old Navy. And like my girlfriends will be like, you made that so cute. Like I literally went to Old Navy to like buy that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. The one top. It was from Old Navy. I was
that's the one? Oh my God.
I'm like, I need it. But you know what I mean?
That's how real women dress too. It's like, I think it's so important to be able to show people that it's, you can find amazing things on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And that's how women want to shop, especially moms. Like, we can't afford to have all
have money for
stuff.
All this designer stuff.
And we're getting spilled on all the time. It's like, I'm not going to risk that. So I think being able to shop high and low and showing women out there that you can style it and still look chic and expensive. It doesn't have to be head to toe designer. Like certain like accessories help and certain pieces in your wardrobe will elevate a full look, and showing people how to style it and really be able to work both sides of it, I think is so important. And I think that's the most fun part of my job is finding something at Old Navy and be like, I can make this really fucking cute.
Yeah.
Let me show you how.
Yeah.
Like that's the fun part for me.
I have to look up that top now.
Well, I've been working with
it. It's a white tank top.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's like, has like the perfect scoop, the perfect length.
Guess what? Okay. I have like five.
It is Old Navy. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, it's $12.
Yes, it is $12.
It's literally $12.
Did you get it?
It's actually amazing.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's like the most fun part for me. I wouldn't say I have any clients that I hate. I think I'm lucky enough in this point in my life to be able to only pick and choose what I want to work with. I'd say in the past I might have had some jobs I wasn't like in love with.
Yeah.
But I think part of my ability as like a influencer stylist is like I love to be able to find a brand people wouldn't think to shop at and find something cute and make it my own.
That's kind of cool,
How many boxes a day you get?
Oh, God. This is embarrassing.
Do they get shipped to your house or somewhere else?
We get it both. It depends. It depends if we're traveling or not.
Do you have like a warehouse? You
put all where do you store?
Like I said, the first couple hours of my morning are spent like managing my closet, like trying stuff on, seeing what works. I at least get like three a day minimum on a normal day.
What's maximum you've gotten?
Like 15.
Oh gosh.
It just depends though. It just depends.
Yeah.
And it's all for work. Is it all like paid or sometimes you just love the stuff and they gift you?
No, I work with so many brands on a gifting basis. Okay. And I think first of all, I think that like keeps my integrity as a fashion influencer. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to only be paid for everything I do. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to find things that you actually really love. Mm-hmm. And support small brands. Like, that's where people come and find all these cool new brands with me. Like, it's not fair to have to expect these brands to pay my rate to be able to be shown on my Instagram. But I would say a lot of times with working with different brands and smaller brands, that's where a lot of my jobs come from as well, is I'll cultivate these relationships with mm-hmm. smaller brands. And then as they grow and get bigger, they'll bring me in for paid jobs. And it's like a really awesome way to kind of
good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah. I think people underestimate that. Like, a lot of the younger influencers will be like, oh, I'm not working with them unless they pay me. And I'm like, that's yeah. not really the right mentality for this.
Well, here mm-hmm. you are. Here's your success. You make an effort. You build relationships, you know.
So yeah. you're not just
– You have to hold yeah. your boundaries as well. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I think it goes both ways. Yeah. Like, why would a brand pay you if they have no idea what you're going to do for them?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's no skin off your back. If you're going to do something, you're essentially going in for an interview. And that if you do a really good job, it'll come back.
So what I love about you is that you're not only social media queen, but you have your sassy business side too. I love it.
Definitely get that from my husband. He's very yeah. smart about it. Yeah.
And is that your like main business right now? Do you have any other like ideas or plans for future?
Anything else you work just, on?
Yeah. We had a clothing brand for a while.
You did?
Yeah. Brightside. We mm-hmm. started at the worst time ever. It was like right during COVID. Mm-hmm. And it kind of fizzled out. To be honest, it was just like, I think having a clothing brand is a full-time job. I don't know how these girls do it. It's like so overwhelming and so all-encompassing. You have to be so hands-on in order for it to feel like you. So it just didn't end up working out. Also, it was really hard for me to wear the same clothes over and over again. That was a little bit stressful for me, yeah. but I'm not really sure. I kind of am open to doing something in the future, but right now I feel like
it's working.
It's working.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure having a brand is something I want to have something. I know I want to have something of my own that's not just me, like something that can live beyond me that I can create, but I'm yeah. not exactly sure what that is.
I just It'll feel come like, to me. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just feel like sometimes you have to just like keep going and then it will come, you know?
I feel like I know what I want from my future, but I don't know exactly how that's going to manifest itself. And
you,
I think
you want some kind of business to.
I want
to
something own. Greater than me. I don't want to have the pressure every day to get up and take a photo, yeah. mm-hmm. but I still want to be creative and be yeah. involved mm-hmm. and have something that is a creative outlet and representative of me, but maybe not fully based on me. I don't know. I'm really big into manifestation and being able to like, I focus on like the feeling I want out of life. Like, that's really big for me. I don't know how that's going to come together, but I know I want something that's going to give me flexibility with my family and creative outlet and still provide for my family, but it's not going to be a brand or myself. Per se, I don't know. It'll happen. Mm-hmm. I have faith in it. It'll come when it's meant to be.
For sure, definitely.
I feel like the
yeah.
influencer brands right now are just so oversaturated as well.
It is, yeah.
It's like everyone has one, and you have to be really special to make it these days.
But I mean, you're top 10, so.
But even me, like I had a brand, and like I don't think I did it right with our mm-hmm. partners. I think we definitely like didn't structure our business the right way, but. The girls that are making it are – it's few and far between. It's really hard. Like, once you are able to do it, I feel like you have to really find a white space in the industry yeah. right now. So, if, like, look at – like, Bumpsuit is killing it. Like
– They are. She found her niche,
you know?
Yeah. I remember before she started it, she was wearing all of these, like, onesies. And I DM'd her so many times, like, where is that from? She's like, oh, this is from, like – it was from, like – what is it?
Oh,
Boohoo
Navy.
Or something. It was from like
Oh, yeah.
Boohoo
oh, my God. Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
And I was like, really? And yeah. then she like went on to do Bumpsuit. And I was like, you literally killed the onesie situation.
Yeah. It's so good.
And like Shay, she's killing it with same. Like there's some mm-hmm. girls
she's
who
have been doing it for 10 years.
I know.
You know?
But it takes a long time.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Really
and
long
she's
time.
Like fully Journey. Invested in that.
She does it. She wakes up. She, you know, she's one of my best yeah. friends. She wakes up and she goes to sleep with it. Like it's really hard.
But it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to step away from my bread and butter to like build that yeah. brand, especially now that I have a family. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. It'll be something, but I'm not in like a rush to do it right
I'm
now.
Sure anything you'll put your, you know, head into will work out.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key. You really have to be like fully invested.
Fully invested. That's what me and Ginta were talking about. That you just have to keep on going, believe in yourself, manifest, of course.
And you have to be fully invested though, because especially if you want to like have it be your baby, it's so easy for things to kind of the quality to fall to the wayside and it become more like business driven. But if you like really have to be so passionate about everything you do,
you have to, right?
For it to be successful.
It's such a cliche to say it, but you do, right? You have to love it.
You have to love it for the right reason.
Yeah.
I genuinely think so. And I think that's part of the influencer thing too. People want to do the influencer job because they're like, oh, I can make so much money doing this or I can get free stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really not the mentality you should have going into this. You have to really be passionate about whatever you're doing and you're influencing on. Like, I love fashion. I like love sitting in my closet and
you can
dressed.
Really tell that. Like, I swear to God, every time I look at you, I'm like, you like breathe and live, you know.
I love
like,
it.
Yeah,
it's
you
like,
do.
I still get excited when I put a cute outfit together. I'm still like, oh, this is cute. I'm really excited to like shoot this.
Well, listen, your body looks amazing. Like, just tell us all, what do you do?
I don't know. What are you doing? I want to know what you
I do nothing. I just have good genes, honestly.
I would say that. I would say I have good genes too. I feel like I'm just an active person in general.
Active, okay.
Like, I have two little boys I'm constantly running after.
But you're, like, your neck.
But
like,
I grew up doing martial arts.
Well, you like this. Like,
but I grew up doing, I think I have so much, like, my mom was a gymnast.
Okay.
So I feel like I spent my whole childhood doing, like, yoga, cheer, and martial arts. And that's, like, I feel like I have really good muscle memory from that. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like from modeling, I feel like everyone goes through a phase where they have like a really bad relationship with food. And I feel like it's taken me a long time, but I actually am very good and in tune with my body now. I think what comes out of the like unhealthy habits of modeling is that you actually are in tune with yourself and what makes you feel good and like what you need to feel your best. Versus like, because originally we were doing it for looks, but like I think as we get older, we realize what we need to do for our health and for us to be like efficient moms and partners and business women. So I feel like I'm not a big sugar person. I like to eat 3 full meals. I don't snack. I like eggs and like a big breakfast. I'm not like eating cake and ice cream for dessert. Like, I eat what I want, but I do it in moderation and I do it till I'm full. I'm not like binge eating and stuff like that. Yeah. So
I think that's the most important was also for me, you know, like when you're modeling, you're like starving yourself and then you're like binge eating, right?
Yeah. It's and such a horrible like cycle that I think every girl goes through at some point in their life. Even girls who aren't modeling, it's like deal with it.
You think?
It's horrible. 100%.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Especially now with Instagram and everything, like constantly being bombarded by all of these body images. I feel like we had to deal with it because we were going to castings and shoots and had people staring at us. But I think girls these days, and you're going to have to deal with this with your daughters, like seeing all these images and I mean, and comparing themselves. Like, we didn't have that when we were younger.
What do you think about all this plastic surgery on like 16-year-olds? It's crazy. Like, I have girls. You guys have boys, but like I'm scared.
I think the 18-year-old rule should apply. Like,
apply to plastic surgery.
Yeah,
right?
You should be an adult before you're able to do that.
Like, my daughters have really. One of them has big lips, and one of them has little lips, and I'm already worried. I'm like, what if she wants bigger lips?
I don't know. Like, maybe it'll be like eyebrows, and skinny will be in.
Time's gonna change. So
maybe
there's
Kate Moss look will come back.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, seriously. So you never know, but I know it's kind of a crapshoot. I don't think anyone should knows themselves enough to make a decision like that until they're at least 18. So.
Yeah, your body's still developing. Changing. Even at 18,
you're
I feel like
puberty. I feel like
I mean, my boobs only grew at 25, and everyone thought I got like a boob job, and I was like so. Flat.
You were just a unicorn.
Yeah, right. Just suddenly, like
my boobs grew at 25. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
That's maybe great. Because I started modeling so early, so I was always so skinny, and then at 25, I kind of like relaxed a little bit. I was like, okay. I made it, like whatever. I get
and all
jobs.
Your fat went to your boobs. Poor you.
Yeah,
but
poor Marina.
You know, after pregnancy, it's like I don't know. Just all my fat just went away.
Yeah,
like it really ruined a little bit of my curves.
Sucks everything out of you.
It did.
Yeah, but you still look amazing. Don't worry.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, so do you. If you ever, you know, want to marry someone else, I will be next in line.
Listen, my facialist just literally like got a house with her other single mom friend. I'm like, you have like a mom commune.
No, it's a trend.
Like, I kind of get that.
You know, it's a trend. Like, you know, you're sick of guys. You already have your kids. What are you going to do? Right? Marry gay?
Like it's on. Happening. It's happening. We're all going to move in together with our kids and have like a beautiful commune.
Yeah. Guys can do their own thing. Girls can.
Yeah. You know, it's like the man's kids house and the women's house. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I see that for everyone's future.
Yeah.
It's totally
the future is bright.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it, to be honest.
Oh, my husband would be pissed, but I'm like, I would sleep better at night probably.
Right.
You guys have time for yourself? I forgot to ask this question.
We actually take date nights. You like do. We have one tonight.
How many times?
We try and do it once a week.
So today what? Thursday?
Thursday.
Is it Thursdays?
Yeah. Our assistant is really good about that. She like looks at our calendar and like books us a date night every week.
So nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And like we're going to Queen Street, which is like this really cool new restaurant.
It's the new thing, right? I've heard. Yeah.
So it's like the, what's it called? Found Oysters, like sister restaurant.
Nice.
So we're going there tonight. I'm really excited.
Well, have fun.
Yeah. Well, enjoy, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll let you go because it's been.
Just talking your ear off for like.
No, it's just like, I know.
There's always so much. There's never enough time.
It's always so much. Yeah. But I think we did an hour, so we'll let you go.
We didn't even use the cards. We kind of like.
We didn't even use the cards.
We just went from.
It's always better when you just like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you so much.
I got to ask you guys more questions. I feel like that's what have been next time.
No, this was great.
When you have your third baby, you can come back.
Oh, no, I'm done. I'm done. Are you going to have a third?
I really want it.
A boy.
But, I really would like a boy, but I just want a healthy baby. But,
you know,
I'm like really the horror stories with my friends not getting pregnant and this
it's
and
hard,
that.
It's hard,
So, but my husband doesn't want it yet. He said if he makes a certain amount of money a year.
I get that. I get that. That makes sense to me. That was the one thing I didn't want to do ever was like compromise my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I grew up with no money. So like I never want my kids to have to like worry, oh, can we afford to go to this college or do this?
Yeah.
Like I want to be able to afford to give my kids whatever.
The best life you can give them.
So I get it. Two kids is expensive.
It's expensive.
Like three is even more.
It's like, three is.
Well, then you need another car.
Then you need another car. It's like, no, it's the whole.
You need another hotel room. You need, you just
unless
need more.
The third kid is like way later in life. But even then, like older kids go, like start going to college and stuff.
Well, then you have to go through the baby phase again.
Yeah, that's true.
Not sleep again. And I'm like, I don't know if I can.
I can't afford not sleeping.
I told Marina, like, my hardest time was when Axel was a newborn. Like first 3 months was the hardest.
Yeah.
Now it I don't want to say it gets easier, but it's like more fun in a sense. Like he communicates, you know, he's like 2 years old now. So it becomes more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, first 3 months.
Is he going to school?
No.
No?
No, not yet.
Next year.
Next year, yeah.
Yeah.
But first 3 months was crazy because he was super colicky, crying nonstop, not sleeping. And I was just like, this is my life now. What am I going to do? You know?
It was really
it's horrible.
Depressed.
It's horrible. Yeah.
I kept on bombarding Maureen. I'm like, my life's over. Like, what do I do? What's happening? You know?
I think we all feel like that.
I'm like, you get a night nurse. And you go to sleep.
I didn't have a night nurse with either of my
You
kids.
Didn't?
What? You're a superhero.
No, but I lived with my mother-in-law.
So she helped a lot?
She helped. She took care of all like the food and the laundry and then when we had Charlie she was like watching Jones all day so that was like the big thing because I was breastfeeding anyway so I was like I'm gonna be up and I just kept Charlie in our room and fed him and put him back down and I went to sleep and I wasn't pumping
it's so good to know someone is like that my mom still is with me
I know but I feel like if you as long as you have someone helping you like whether it's a night nurse or something you need some help
You do.
It's not like I just was. I didn't have a night nurse. I just had.
Yeah. Help the daytime. Like, well, daytime is important too because if your kid sleeps okay and you still have to breastfeed, then you're fine without a night nurse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mine were fine. It was more so with the second kid watching the toddler, making sure they have enough attention or
getting
enough.
Yeah, they get jealous.
They get jealous. Mm-hmm. They get like destructive.
Yeah. My daughter was like scratching my little one's face and stuff for a while.
Mm-hmm. And they don't realize how like small they are. They like. Yeah. Squeeze them.
They're gonna play, and it's like,
Jones still picks up Charlie by his neck.
By his neck,
No. That's crazy.
Okay, babe.
Well, thank you so much.